This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Fishy Business?
Fishy Business, what I call him whenever I have him on the show, Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
Obviously, sports radio of the year in the state of Illinois. You don't get that by accident. He does a wonderful job for those guys.
I'm not leaving to cover the Detroit Lions.
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's talk some Bears football with Kevin Fishbane, shall we? He's brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric for all the right reasons. Call 866-4-SEASONS. Well, here we are, Kevin Fishbane. I have decided that this is yet another loss avoidance Sunday, which isn't quite the same as a must win, but I look at a massive disparity between the narratives for the outcome of this game, especially heading on that London trip.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that if you're a good team, you're supposed to win. And if you're an average team, you should win. It's kind of I don't want to call it a gut check per se, but it's one of those things where for all the consternation of week two and week three, like the Bears should be 4-2 at the bye. Of course, should doesn't work in the NFL, and it rarely works with the Bears, although they have generally been good as a favorite the few times they've been favored under Matt Eberflus. So, yeah, this is one of those situations where, Dan, like you look at the players in the field and you specifically that Bears defense, and you're like, okay, like Andy Dalton's playing well. Xavier Leggett, the rookie, he's done a really nice job for Carolina, but there's a talent advantage there for the Bears defense. That should be the best unit on the field. And then you look at the Bears wide receivers. I know the passing game hasn't been what people hoped, but like again, that should be an advantage. So you'd like to see them just say, hey, we are the better team, we are at home, and we're just going to take care of business and win.
Why could it possibly not go that way, Kevin, if you were looking and saying, okay, the Bears, they are favorite, they are at home, where they've been very good dating back to last season. Why would it not go that way?
Oh, Marshall, I have so many reasons.
As do I. I just want to hear yours.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, well, I mean, you can start with the overarching theme, which is this team has given you no reason to think that they could just go in and knock out an inferior opponent, right? The run game had one good game. The defense has been very good, but is still giving up too many yards on the ground and has gave up a bunch of chunk plays to Matthew Stafford last week. The type of plays that Andy Dalton is the type of quarterback who will take advantage of those if you don't pressure him. The passing game, as we know, has been completely out of sorts still. And as efficient as Caleb Williams was last week, he was not prolific. He was not that productive. There were a couple opportunities late in the first half, as we know, that they didn't hit on. So it could be low scoring. You worry about a situation where the run game doesn't work and you're asking Williams to throw the ball 40 times. And, you know, if there's turnovers, all those things, like everything you saw weeks 1, 2, 3, and then I'll add in the first half against the Rams are all reason to worry that this is not going to come easy for the Bears.
Should they be able to find big plays in the passing game that aren't necessarily a function of the running game, where we keep looking at it kind of back and say, well, those will be there once you establish the running game. Why can't they just line up and run downfield and throw it to a guy?
They should be able to, Dan. I mean, if you go back to, oh gosh, I sat here trying to think of downfield passes. They've only had like four all
exactly.
year.
Exactly, yes.
And that's the problem. You know, but like, okay, I'll take, how about the interception that Caleb Williams threw when he was aiming for Rome Odunze? And that's a throw that, you know, Matt Eberflus said, like, that's an aggressive throw. We appreciate the aggressiveness, but he had a check down. But that's a play that they almost made, okay? Like, there are opportunities where Caleb Williams knows he can make the throw. He's got three wide receivers that should be able to catch just about anything thrown their way. Like, you should be able to if you have the protection. Like, Dan, I think the protection is more important to creating that passing game than the run game setting it up.
But this team can't rush the passer. They're terrible at it.
Yeah, that's my issue.
Right, like you shouldn't need to go full under center to create some kind of, you know, ways to get Caleb Williams in space. He should just have time. And then he has these three wideouts who should be able to get open. And even if they don't look open, he should be able to throw them open. So, yes, I'm with you. Like, this team should they have the players capable of making those plays. I just think that they've run into a combination of, you know, missing Keenan Allen in weeks 2 and 3 really hurt. I think we saw that. You have DJ Moore and Caleb Williams that have just struggled to get on the same page. You've got the bad pass protection. And you've got Williams himself, who just hasn't been as accurate on those deep balls as we saw in the preseason, as we saw at USC. Why he hasn't been accurate on those, I'm not sure. I feel like he just needs a little bit more touch on those throws. But all those things have gone into the deep passing game not working. And this is an opportunity on Sunday to get it going.
I have been scoffed at. I have been mocked for my belief that Andy Dalton is a above average quarterback. Above average might be, but like a competent quarterback, someone who can get the job done.
You like Andy Dalton.
Hey, man, listen. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, if they don't get pressure on Andy Dalton, he will make NFL throws. I think that's a fair thing to say. Are you with me on that? I mean, you kind of described it a little bit in describing how things could go wrong for the Bears. I'm just not convinced that the pressure is going to be enough up front. So this may, for me, come down to just how does Matt Eberflus attack Andy Dalton? What does he choose to utilize?
Yeah, I think, so they blitzed Stafford at the highest rate they've blitzed all season. And I wonder if we see a little bit of that as well, because like, you can get Andy Dalton into making a mistake. But I'm with you, Marshall. I think that Andy Dalton, if you give him time, as we've seen the past 2 weeks, he's going to make throws if receivers are open. And, you know, the way that secondary works, like, there could be opportunities if the pass rush doesn't get there. Like, Andy Dalton's one of those guys, if you look at Andy Dalton from whatever, 2011 to 2019, like, that Andy Dalton, he's one of the many guys you could say would have been the greatest quarterback in Bears history, that part of his career, right?
Like, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just saying, painfully true. That's just,
now, of course, if he was in Chicago, it would have been the same. But like I'm saying, like, that was a guy who went to the playoffs in Cincinnati. That was a guy who was just a functional, reliable quarterback, something the Bears really have missed out on. So, I think when you're facing a veteran, if he has time and he's got guys open, he's the type of guy that's going to hit them. And that's why I could see Eberflus dialing up some blitzes. That's where you really are hoping that Jervon Dexter and Andrew Billings continue their high level of play rushing from the interior, because that's going to cause some problems for them as well. You know, it's funny, the Rams, as well as they ran the ball and as well as Matthew Stafford threw it between the 20s, they completely collapsed on themselves in the red zone last week. I mean, credit the Bears defense, of course, but the play, it was just strange that they just could do nothing when they got inside the Bears 20. And I do think that the Panthers could look at that and say, hey, there's opportunities to move the ball downfield, and how can we be better in the red zone? But that is where the Bears have been really good. So maybe this is a game where it's just an Eddie Pinheiro field goal game for Carolina, ideally for the Bears to put it into his hands, and then if they can get some touchdowns.
I was happy.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To hear Shane Waldron acknowledge that the pre-snap penalties are an issue, and that's part of their slow starts. And as they keep saying the same things, we know we have to avoid those. We have to clean these things up. I don't know how one reaches the other in the moment, because football players have always talked about the avoidance of the self-inflicted offensive issues is a function of your practice habits. And smart teams that practice with a level of concentration are less likely to make those mistakes when the game happens. And to do it at home was really troubling. That should never happen. To what extent do you trust that when they say they're going to fix that, they can and will?
Well, to go back to the top, Dan, they haven't given you the reason to necessarily trust them. Like, they haven't given you those examples. It's weird, because everything else last Sunday was so much more efficient offensively. You know, the run game, the pass protection, just Caleb Williams throwing the football, protecting the football, except for that. So you wonder how much more of a point of emphasis that was this week and how much that could get corrected. I still think that there is obviously, You know, we had all the cadence conversations.
I was just going to ask that. Is it still a cadence issue?
And the start of training camp. I don't know exactly how many of those false starts are that, but you've got linemen who are, you know, these guys should all be familiar with the scheme. So I wonder how much of that is, you know, Caleb Williams is calling out some things before the snap, defense is moving around, and they're calling something out that they weren't worked on in practice and somebody flinches. So I don't know if that's part of it, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's been a limitation and that's kind of been holding them back a little bit. And so, yeah, I guess my two-part answer is I do think that they're going to work on it, but I have to see it to believe that they're going to get that fixed. I mean, you'd like to think can't be worse than it was on Sunday. And you worry if they fix that, does something else go back to what it was in weeks 1, 2, 3, or can they find a way to get everything on offense working in sync and score, you know, 30 points like a 2024 football team with this many weapons should do?
Oh, we're thinking about 40 pieces over here. I don't know why you got the scoring so low. That's completely a joke.
Joe Ostrowski already shamed us for
talking about the Bears possibly scoring 40 points. I think he was talking about it at any point of the season the way he was talking. I'm curious. Because some good news for Bears fans for that offense, Keenan Allen not even on the injury report. Are we good?
It's a great point, and I thought about that this morning, that not limited at all in practice, because what you don't want to see is him just be limited heel every single day for the rest of the season. And, you know, he said last week when we talked to him in the locker room that he felt that the 2 weeks of rest that they gave him and the things that he did to work on that put him in a position to not feel it. And for him to come out of that game, the amount of snaps he played, and not appear back on the injury report on Wednesday, very good sign. Because he does make such a difference when he's on the field, just giving Caleb Williams that outlet, especially on third down.
I'm looking at the London trip and just how it looms over this, because for a football team, it's so disruptive. It's such a, and I don't know that is anything that a team would talk to players about, but you don't want to be setting out on that trip coming off a loss in this game. And the feeling of being in control of what you're doing would just be so drastically different. It's why I led into the segment saying what I said, that the difference in narrative on Monday could just be so enormous because of what this team is now being tasked with in making the trip overseas.
It's a great point, Dan. And it's why you have this floating possibility of 4-2 and what that could mean. Because if they win, we're going to have a similar discussion next Friday, right? Where we're going to be talking about, here's a bad Jaguars team, and there's going to be a lot of Bears fans at that stadium in Tottenham next week. And there's an opportunity to go into this, to take that long flight home after a win. You go into the bye, and you're 4-2, and you're feeling really good. You have to beat Carolina first to get yourself into that role. I do think that these guys, like, they know London's coming up, but you know how these guys are. They are so wired in a way that, like, they don't even know what time they're leaving, probably. Like, they don't even know what they need to pack. You know, I think that they're so tuned in. It doesn't mean they're going to beat the Panthers. They still have to go do that. But I do think that I don't know how much of a distraction is for the players or a looming thing. But you bring up a good point, because it does change everything if you lose that Carolina game going into what is going to be a full week in London, and the flight and the jet lag and all the different things, and there's going to be a lot of different media and a lot of events and a lot of different stuff going on over there. You want to do that coming off a win.
When you look at Matt Eberflus as a head coach, not a defensive play caller, are you satisfied with what you're seeing so far this season? I mean, they're 2-2. The wins are what matters. Some interesting decisions a couple of games ago, but a much cleaner game the last time out from a head coaching standpoint. How much do you think he's still under the microscope here? Because I feel like everyone believes in Matt Eberflus, the defensive play caller, but there are still questions, at least for me, about his ability as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good sign Sunday. Marshall, I kind of thought he outcoached Sean McVay overall. Wow. I thought the Rams had, like I mentioned, the red zone stuff, the timeout they took with 10 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, not really being on the ball for their two-point conversion. There were some things that were a little off with the Rams, not a lot, but just enough to make a difference in a one score game. And the Bears didn't have those. So again, positive, you see progress. I remember kind of looking and seeing, the play didn't work out, but the third down play at the end of the game before Torrey Taylor's last punt, Eberflus and Shane Waldron were talking together, making sure they're on the same page on what that play is going to be. I loved the when McVay called that timeout with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They come back out with different personnel. Eberflus comes out, man defense, blitz, Brisker gets the sack. Now, I know what you said. We're not worried about Eberflus, the defensive play caller, but I think something like that could kind of boost the confidence of everybody in the building that he's doing things like that. So I just think you need to see this team win more close games. You need to see this offense doing what it's supposed to be doing to feel better about it, because what the mistakes in week two and week three are still looming. It's not that wasn't that long ago, so I get it. So yeah, I think you need some more proof of concept that this thing, that they have all the pieces they need to move forward.
You want to check out Kevin Fishbane on Twitch? It's twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Obviously, nice that Keenan Allen, as we mentioned, is not on the injury report. What of the injury report do you find significant and you're going to be watching for designations today?
Yeah, so it was a good sign that Tevin Jenkins was back at practice yesterday. Rib injury, that could be kind of a pain tolerance thing. We'll see what the designation is. Like, he's kind of a key one in there to see if he's going to be able to play. Montez Sweat seems like he's just been managing something each week, so I wouldn't be too worried about him. And I think that might be it in terms of kind of the big names of players that you would be worried about. I think Tevin Jenkins is probably the biggest one. I'll throw one more at you, Dan. Jervon Dexter was added to the injury report yesterday with a hip. You always worry when a guy is not on the report Wednesday and suddenly on there Thursday. So, we'll see what that was. But the Tevin Jenkins is the one to just kind of monitor. The offensive line did play okay with him out. I think you still would rather him be in the game, of course. But Tevin Jenkins, Jervon Dexter are kind of the big ones to see. It doesn't look like Zach Pickens and Charles Smith, reserve guys, will be back this week, but maybe we'll be back for London.
Kevin Fishbane, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys.